Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Joining our American Muslim 360 family and talk about today's topic. So let us join them now.
That nothing is worthy of worship or praise.
And we want to make sure that our blog talk radio host can hear. So we are talking today about why are young men so angry and how to help your sons express emotion. Men don't cry. That's what boys are told as they're growing up. So when they're not allowed to cry, they scream. They hit and stab and shoot. Why are young men so angry? Well, perhaps it's time for us to change the cultural belief that it is manly to be stoic and show no emotion. It is very unhealthy that men have been allowed to express only one emotion, anger, So no matter what the real emotion is, fear, hurt, grief, loneliness, sadness, guilt, shame, humiliation, hunger, cold, no matter what the real feelings are, what the world sees from our young men is anger. And they express it with violence. So when they get condemned and punished for showing anger, we still don't get the real reason for the anger. Now, what if we just took the time to discover the real feelings behind the anger? We address the hurt and help to heal the pain, because this is the real solution to violence. But we first need to answer the question, why are young men so angry? So we want to talk about that today. We invite you all to call in and express your thoughts. And if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation and give us a call, 515-605-9325. I'm sorry, I couldn't open the mic because someone accidentally was supposed to open my mic, so I just want to make sure that our listening audience can hear. And certainly we want them to hear your thoughts, Brother Kareem. But do you recall what you were taught as a boy about expressing emotions? Were you told that it was unmanly? What kind of way did your father convey that thought or even express it himself? And how did that affect you, the thought that if you're hurt or sad, you're not supposed to cry? Tell us about that.
From birth, you know, when we're small children, our parents tell us to stop crying, you know, male and female.
Yeah.
Stop crying, you know, stop crying. But crying is an expression of an emotion. What makes us human is that we have human sensitivity. In the Quran, Allah speaks of our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as a basharun mithlikum. A basharun mithlikum. God tells the Prophet Muhammad to tell us, the human being, that he is a human. That's the bashir. Mythical, that he is sensitive. He feels the same cold you feel. He feels the same heat you feel. He feels the same hunger you feel, the same sorrow that the human being feels. He is a sensitive creature. He peers of joy, elation, that he is a human being just like you. And that mythical, that he is sensitive, that whatever you feel, he is capable of feeling it also. So when we suppress what is natural within us, it can have a negative buildup. When it does express itself, it can come out in very unfavorable ways. So that idea that, you know, stop crying. What are you crying for? Stop crying. And as we know, infants can't speak. But there's some that they may want to be held. They may want to be cleaned up, a diaper change. They may have colic. They may need to be burped. There is a reason why they are crying. But not just infants, even as we grow up, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you don't stop crying, stop crying. Crying is a normal human act, but then when it's doubly pronounced for the male, to not show sensitivity, to suppress what is natural within you. Do not show mercy. Mercy is a sensitive kindness that is connected to sensitivity. Compassion for another person, that is a natural ingrained sensitivity. And we have been duped into the idea that the male species should not display what is naturally inbred, what is naturally created within us as male human beings. We are sensitive creatures. When you have to not express what emotional, do not express your emotions, do not express or display that you have a sensitive nature, then what are you, then you become hardened inside. You are not allowing the sensitive nature to express itself, to develop in a healthy, in healthy fashion and in a healthy way. And so there is a propensity to not show the sensitive side of yourself and create an unnatural position of being insensitive. And that hardens the heart. That silences the emotions. The heart is the seat of all of our intentions, our actions, and our thinking. Silence your heart. Don't allow the heart to grow by way of sensitive expression. The heart becomes hardened. It becomes insensitive. The very thing that is being suppressed, it becomes insensitive to other people's sensitivity, to other people's emotions. And when it expresses itself, it comes out in ways that we truly, you know, in a negative way. So many of our young men, if they would speak honestly, they would say, man, I am afraid. I put on this persona as a defensive mechanism. But I'm in an environment of insensitivity. I have fears. I have wants. If they could truly remove the mask, pull the scales of insensitivity from off of their heart and their mind, and no one judged them in a negative way for expressing normal human emotion and sensitivity. I believe they're angry because they can't. They're not allowed to express what Almighty God has naturally placed within them. That builds up resentment and anger. So we ask, why are our young men angry? Because someone has influenced us to suppress the natural content in our males, that is sensitivity. A basharoon mithrikum, a human being with a sensitive nature. I feel sadness. I feel joy. I feel cold. I feel heat. I feel the rain on my face. I feel for another person that I see is injured. I feel that. But if I display that, then that is being described as unmanly. If I go to help another person and show my sensitivity toward them, that has been described as being unmanly. So that is somewhat at the root and at the core of why young men are angry. Many are disappointed. Many are left in a situation of having to almost survive by themselves on their own. On their own. We're in a condition, the whole country, not just African Americans, the whole country is on a survival mode, survival of the fittest mode. And people gravitate toward that which they believe will feed them, that which will give them a sense of security, and they protect that. That which gives them security, that feeds them, their way of living, their way of earning income becomes, it is crucial, it is critical to them. This is how I feed myself. And this heavy competition, and when you're in a jungle environment, the United States, not just in a city, the United States, period. When you're in survival mode, be able to survive. So these are some of the critical issues that we must address, and also return back to the original content, the original nature, and the original content that Almighty God has placed within each and every soul. And that is sensitivity, being able to show mercy and kindness. To if I'm hurting, I'm not afraid to tell you I hurt. I'm not afraid to say to you, hey, I have some questions here. I fear. Can you help me? So we must return back to the original nature that God created the human being. In. That human nature it has many names, but one of its most popular names is Adam. Adam. The Adamic structure that God created in the first man. That sensitive nature. So that is why. That is why. Not just African American men. I see it in Caucasian men. They're angry and they are fearful. They are afraid. Yeah. They are really afraid because they have been given a false concept of who and what they are. And they're afraid of losing. They feel as if they're losing something. I understand it. This whole nation is, for real, if we tell the truth, the whole nation is under fear now. The lack of a way to earn a living, manufacturing is gone to never return back. Whole towns are left on their own. And there's a fear, there's an insecurity there. So it's not just inner city, it's small towns, it's across this nation. And you see the lashing out, the sensitivity of insecurity. We're on survival mode. So it's not just males that are angry. The majority of the citizens in this country, they don't understand. They're living under fear and insecurity and have been taught, don't even talk about that. That's insensitivity. Insensitive. Not to not feel and register the hurt of another human, of, of another human being, let alone yourself. So that is why what we describe as anger is really, it's really fear being expressed. It's really, may we return back to our original nature, to be sensitive human beings, then we will see less an expression of aggression and anger and insensitivity toward yours, even toward yourself and another human being. I hope something I said has been of value to those of us that are on this line. So it is that we are all Basharun Mithriku. We are one humanity, and we have, and we all share sensitivities. We all have a sensitive nature that should not be suppressed, nor should it be overindulged in. I'm not saying we become crybabies. I'm not saying that, we become crybabies and just fall down. No, but at least be able to acknowledge, hey, I hurt, and then, then work for a solution to healing the hurt.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you use the expression crybaby, because I remember, as you say, you know, as a child, we're told to stop crying. I was a very sensitive child. I remember that. I was very easily moved to tears because my feelings were really hurt. And I remember as a young child being ridiculed for being a crybaby. So that's one of the things you learn, is that you will be ridiculed if you express emotion. And so you learn to suppress emotion. And I did have anger issues as an adult that I had to develop out of. And sometimes the root of anger or a temper is suppressed emotion that you are afraid or you learn not to express because you're going to be ridiculed. And when your feelings are hurt because you can't cry, you then express anger. And I think a lot of people who, you know, their label is having anger management issues, I think a lot of people might have the roots of it in childhood where they were ridiculed for expressing the hurt or having their feelings hurt or any number of emotions that have been discouraged from displaying, loneliness, sadness, even grief. And how many times are people encouraged to not grieve openly in many cultures? Someone dies that you loved, and I've seen men be told, be strong, meaning don't be weak and show your grief by crying. Well, in fact, crying is the natural way to express grief. And I've had many people who didn't cry when they were grieving, and then the grief came out in other ways that were destructive, usually expressed as some kind of anger. And I remember, matter of fact, when Hadiya Pendleton, a young lady who became widely known as a result of being shot by a young man, and Mrs. Obama came to her funeral here in Chicago. She'd gone to school in King College Prep. First, when she got shot, she was with a group of young people and got shot, and people were trying to say, oh, she's part of the gang. And then somebody said, no, she just got through performing at the White House inauguration. She was an honor student. Came out. people were saying, well, how is it that she ended up getting shot? And then the young man who shot her, he was shooting at a group, and he thought that they were, you know, rival gang members who had shot his friend. So he was grieving. And we had some of the young people on the show talking about it. They formed an organization called Project Orange Tree. And they were saying that perhaps if this young man's grief had been dealt with, instead of it just dismissed, oh, another gang shooting, and no one addressed the fact that people around him were hurting and sad and grieving, maybe they could have prevented his retaliatory shooting. But no one addressed it because they just assumed that young men don't have any emotions or they don't deserve comfort or whatever the case may be. But that's what happens when you don't allow people to grieve. You don't address the fact that the person that they lost, it caused them pain, and you don't let them cry. You instead make them suppress it so it comes out in a way that's destructive. So that's one memory that I have of a situation where if we as adults had been more sensitive to a young man's pain, then we could have helped him express it in healthier ways. And we had allowed him to be the human being that he is. So we got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll gladly take your calls. Let us know if you have someone on your switchboard that wants to speak. Tell them press 1. Of course, we'll open your mic. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Cell Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Shauna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
To and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Lateef along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, and we are addressing the topic today of why are young men so angry? Well, what we see as anger many times is grief, sadness, hurt, humiliation, fear, mostly fear of loss of love, loss of respect, fear of rejection. And this is across the board, particularly because men are held to such a standard by society. It's as if you must earn the right to be respected. And as our co-host Kareem Hamid said earlier, you have many men who are fearing what's going to happen if they lose respect because they've lost a job or lost money or lost the ability to take care of those who depend on them. And that fear comes out as anger. So we're going to go to our phone lines. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And, of course, that raises your hand on our switchboard, and we're going to get your thoughts. So, of course, we're joined with our American Muslim 360 family and our co-host Kareem Hamid, and we want you to join this conversation. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And let's go to our caller at area code 773-487. And we've got a caller. We've opened the mic for her, so introduce yourself and give us your thoughts. Why are young men so angry? And how can we help our sons healthily express their emotions? What do you think?
Well, good morning. This is Akufi. How you doing?
Good morning. Yeah.
Well, we are in a, I would call a vicious attack on men these days by the so-called the LGBTQ community. They've been, you look at the YouTube, and they're all over YouTube saying how bad black men are. They even got this one transgender woman that's telling our sisters, if you wind up getting pregnant with a black man, abort him. We are under vicious attack, and they attack me when I tell them to stop. This society, that we're living in, I think black men are not mad. We're frustrated because we're not taking upon ourselves to make things better. We are told to stay away from one another. And if you do get together, it's under a violent nature. But with me, I'm a very happy brother, and people look at me strange because I'm a happy guy, because I understand the attack on men.
So why do you feel that the LGBT community, in particular is attacking young, is attacking black men? Why are you feeling that in particular?
Good question. If you take a black man and you get him to switch his sex, right? Now he wants to become a woman. Now he's a black woman. Do you think he loves or respect black men or respect himself? No, he fell for the okey-doke that being a black man, there's something wrong with that. And so now that he has converted to be the woman, he's going to attack and he's going to ridicule black men. You hear a lot about black women. Their best friend is a gay guy, because he tells them all the secrets. You look at the situation in Atlanta a couple of days ago. They're about to give $850 to black women for like 2 years. And this one transgender on YouTube, she said, well, this is going to make black men convert over. The issue with black men, the issue with black men, I think, down to the roots, is that we have created a global economy with our inventions, doorknob, shoe machine, traffic light, all these inventions. Society all over the world has been civilized by black men's ideas, our music, our creations, our benefits to society. No one in the world can come close to what black men have done. You understand? Do you follow me? What I'm saying? Are you following me? I'm setting this up. I'm letting you know how great black men are, how we've been.
Right.
Look at the past. And now this is why the LGBT and others are attacking us, because it's jealousy and envy of what we are and what we have done.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Now, hold on. I'm going to take a few callers and get some responses to a thought that you have put forth. I think the issue of gender has been intense, especially when it comes to what we allow men to express in terms of emotion. I see a lot of times men get accused of being effeminate or homosexual if they express emotion. So that also is one of the things that keeps us from being able to teach our sons to express emotion in a healthy manner out of that fear. And when it comes to expression of your gender, that is a whole set of circumstances. And it has been said that many men, because they're raised in single-parent, female-headed households, don't see the balance and imitate the behaviors of parent who is present, who, if she's female, then his behavior will likely be more emotional and what people express as female behavior. But how do we show men what a man looks like expressing the same healthy emotions, such as grief and sadness? That's a question. But let me go to our caller, and that's area code 313-442 and 708-566. You're next, so hold on. So area code 313-442. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment. Check your mute on your phone.
Hello?
313-442. Yes, okay. Go right ahead. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I almost wanted to say that's not our anger issue, but it's a multiple conclusion. And because so many people are affected by so many things. So transgender may be one sector. I don't hear, as I travel across the country, that being a major issue. A lot of Christian and heterosexual men do have a problem with it because it's hard for some men to separate. It's not me. And then other men,
okay,
it's hard for them to separate. It won't affect me. So there's a psychological warfare going on, but let's get away from that for a minute. It's not that it don't exist. It does exist. But I think in large part it's a whole generation of undisciplined, unchurched, un-Sunday school, un-BTU, black men and women at that too. And where it's always been said, and hear me good,
mm-hmm,
mama's baby, daddy's maybe. We got a whole generation now who is frustrated that mama was, they don't want to label it for what they call their girls a hoe, but can I really believe my mama got two or three baby daddies? Can I really believe, and maybe that needs to be a whole nother show, what is the generational curse and fallback from the homeless behavior of all of our neighborhoods? When you got women who come from, you know, I got a friend who has five sisters, four baby daddies out of that mama, and they're all frustrated. Mm-hmm. Two of them don't even know who their daddy was, and they're mad at their mother. And so you got to go into a relationship with this woman, not knowing her true, not always knowing her true essence of her anger, which leads the man raised by a woman with frustration, raised by a woman with a unconcluded mindset of what is life, what is relationships. And then I've counseled women who are just frustrated because everybody around her is playing these games with men and women. And women have, since the 70s, have said, if the man gonna cheat, I won't cheat. No, y'all been cheating. You ain't got to say it. Look at the 60s, the 70s, even after slavery, after prohibition, after sharecropping, women and men have slept around. We forget the consequences. Is unstable families, which gives you unstable men. A decent man wants that woman, and take this secret, women, take this secret. When we look at you and see your beauty, the assumption for most men is that the beauty brings purity. So when you find out that the beauty does not bring, and I'm not talking about the standard of beauty. That's a whole nother story. Light skin, dark skin, big butt, fake hair, fake eyes, and you want a real man. I'm not even, listen, that's a whole nother show. We're talking about the psychological anger of a black man. And as a black man, as a single black man, as a preacher, as a pastor, as someone who has traveled across the country, I've been to every state that exists in the United States and the territories. And I see the same thing. This tug of war for decent men to want to be decent, but the undecent gets the attention. Let me see. And I used to call it, I don't want the woman for the highest bidder slot. You meet a woman and you take her in a new space, and because you didn't took her in a new space, it don't mean she ain't going to be the old hoe. Her nature has not been groomed away from, I got to hustle to get it. Don't let her mess around and get a degree, but her girlfriend from high school is still in her mind. Her hustle from college is still in mind. So she's a doctor, so she's a lawyer, so she's a professor, whatever she is. If the mindset, and hear me this, and take this nugget, women, really. It's amazing to me, women tell me, I ain't no dog, you ain't going to train me. You go to Ford, you get trained. You go to the University of Chicago, they train you. You go to the city of Chicago, they train you. You go to the city of L.A., they train you. You go to the city of Detroit. Wherever you go work, they train you. And your ignorant self say to the man that God tells you is your husband, you don't want him to groom you, and you don't want to groom him because you think you've grown. Stuck on stupid, land on lazy, too trifling to wake up and see what's really happening. The whole world is training you. But you fighting the person you got to love and grow and mature with. Even when it comes to sex, you need to be groomed for the people you with. Don't bring that smorgasbord of she the last one like a butt stab. That's who might not want you to touch her butt. Or there's so much anger coming. And what men got to deal with every, we fight the world every time we walk out. There is not a weak, a woke man. I ain't talking about the sleep man. There's not a week that you don't see some type of frustration. There's not a day where you're not trying to struggle to get away from the chaos. Every time I leave my driveway, my prayer is, Lord, keep me from the danger, the attitude people. Lord, please keep me from drive-bys and all of the rest of this chaos stuff. So the last thing I need to do is walk into a house or wake up, and a woman's talking about what they said. Or a woman's talking about, you know, just anything. So you're not frustrated. You're not frustrated because you're mad at her. Because we have not been taught in most cases how to handle the anger and pain that comes when we meet people, we meet a woman. And so you become disenfranchised. The loyalty that some people say they have in relationships is loyalty only while I'm in your presence.
So what you're saying, and let me ask this question, because it sounds like that you're saying what a lot of men get at with women is if a woman is sexually involved with another man and he discovers that she has not been a faithful mate to him, and that creates anger. And I've seen this a lot because I've seen a lot of, whether it's domestic violence or someone killing someone or stalking someone, or just if there's a breakup, there being a response to, oh, well, if I can't have you, no one will. And then you get these crazy murder suicides of whole families. So what makes a man angry if a woman decides that she is attracted to someone else? Because men, as you said, you know, men are having multiple intimate partners. Women are saying, well, we'll do the same thing. What is it about that that makes a man angry to the point of violence when a woman decides to be intimate with someone else? And you use the term hoe, which I don't know if there's an equivalent term to a man who has multiple intimate partners.
He's a hoe, but too. Everybody knows. Gender does not identify hoe. Behavior does. Excuse me. It's not a gender that makes you the hoe. It's the behavior that makes you the hoe.
Indiscriminate sexual partner without commitment. Is that how you would define that?
No, watch this. You don't even got to have sex to be a hoe. You could be in somebody's space that you are uncommitted to, that you are doing favors with and for, because of the gratitude of your own greed. You don't have gratification and respect for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've counseled it. I've lived it. When people are talking to exes and think it's okay. But when they talk to the ex, they got a problem with it. Some men have not been taught the separation of growing pain, so they get angry. She cheats on me, whether I cheat on her or not. Some of them is just as wrong. I have a friend that's dead today, not because she cheated. He cheated and caught her. He was in a whole married, listen, women, he was in a whole married relationship. The benefits was good. She discovered that he was in the relationship and told him she didn't want to be in it no more. He had been given so much authority, he did not know what to do with the loss of power. His mama, his daddy did not teach him. I did, you know, I'm the publisher of the newspaper, The Shot News. I did an article, and somebody told me I need to rerun it. Matter of fact, a senator running for governor of Oklahoma said, Ms. Hutter, you need to rerun this and then send me, you know, thousands of copies. The title was, Are You Raising a Parent Killer? How many grandparents every day, how many children every day are killing their mothers and fathers and grandparents and foster parents because they couldn't hear the word no? That's why God says, spoil not the child, spare not the rod. Discipline must start at an early age in order for the child's own survival. And what we got to understand, Naima, is what he says no to a child, and he's just new on the scene, and now he's got to argue with a child that's not his. And we see this a lot, because the mother just kept giving in, not knowing she's setting him up for failure. She's setting him up. There was two girls here in Detroit got killed, 16 and 17. They didn't rape the girls. The girls had voluntary sex all weekend. Come Monday, Sunday night, they said they were nagging them. They had not been taught coping and relationship skills. And I ain't talking about boy, girl. I'm talking about how to deal with life. When something don't go right, you just go another way. They could have took the girls home, but they killed them and put them in an abandoned apartment. When you teach your daughters these behaviors, now what you got away with don't have to happen in this new generation. They killing girls. They killing boys.
This sounds like multiple dysfunction. Well, we got to take a break, Gary. This is Gary from Detroit, publisher of The Shot News. And we got to take a break. Hold on. We're gonna come back to you. Perhaps we got to take a couple of more calls. We're going to get some responses to some of the things that you said. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1. We're going to take 708-566 next after the break. And if you're watching us live on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening audience. And, Kareem, let us know if you've got a caller on your switchboard. We'll be glad to open their mic. We've asked the question, why are men so angry? And Gary has given us a multiplicity of reasons, much of it seeming to stem from the intimate relationship between men and women and disappointments about commitment or lack thereof and how men are moved to violence as a result. And some of it stemming from anger toward their mothers. This is a deep thought. We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stay with us. And feel free to call in and express your thoughts, 515-605-9325.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And we are back.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we're asking the question, why are young men so angry? We want to help our sons express emotion. Of course, there are many things that get expressed as anger. Some of them is resentment toward their parents. Maybe that father who was harsh or absent, maybe that, or perhaps that father that was not the biological father and was not kind and loving. Maybe it's anger toward that mother who had many men in her life. And maybe this made the son feel resentment, anger, frustration, helplessness. And that feeling comes out in their own personal relationships. So we're going to go to our phone line. Again, if you're on our switchboard, press 1, and that will light up your number. So, you know, you've got a hand raised, you've got something to say. We're going to go to area code 708-566. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Brian Vickers. Hey, how you doing, Naima? It's been a long time. How you doing?
Are you? Excellent.
Good to hear your voice. Good to hear yours as well. It's always good to hear from you. I think one of the reasons that men, particularly black men, are so angry is because, how you say, the deck is stacked against them, meaning because of their race, gender, because of, for one thing, the racial issue, also too, they may have had a very rough childhood growing up. They may have endured bullying, teasing, mockery, and the problem persists even throughout life. They've gone through one failed relationship to another, and one unstable job, unstable menial job to another, and makes a person very bitter, very angry. So.
Yes, that's true. That is one of those things that affects self-esteem. So, you know, there's a term going postal, which is unfortunate. The post office tends to be a place where workers feel they've been humiliated put down, ridiculed. It's a high-stress environment, and people have been known to just explode and come in and shoot up the place. A lot of times it happens after a firing or demotion of some kind. We were covering an event out in, I believe it was Aurora, a couple of years ago. A young man just got fired from a job and came in, you know, shot up the management during a meeting. So we see these kind of things. So when a person has dealt with humiliation on a job, how does that translate into anger? Why are we not knowing how to perhaps call a meeting, sit and talk to people? Why does it just explode into violence? Is it because we haven't been taught those skills of speaking, or is it because no one listens? What are your observations on that?
Okay, it could be a combination of both. Maybe somebody never taught that person how to deal with anger and resentment and so forth, even if the anger and resentment that they feel is justifiable. However, what happens to, on a lot of, and again, on these menial jobs, is you're dealing with someone's livelihood, and that job may be all that they have. I mean, because you don't know what somebody's going through financially, emotionally, mentally. Their fiance or wife may have walked out on them, and they're dealing with that. And fine, they shouldn't take it to the job, but sometimes it can be helped. And then you have bosses or managers, regardless of whatever their title may be, that are kind of like trying to push that button, and there's only so much one can take. And I can honestly say I've been on jobs where I've had bosses that were out to get me and did not want me there, were out to get me. And when they finally drum up or... Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when they charges enough to get you fired, and then they'll say, well, I don't expect you to like this, but I expect you to be a professional about it. Well, I expected you to be a professional about it, too. I expected you to advocate on my behalf and address my concerns, but you're not doing that. The only thing you're doing is drumming up some charges so you can get rid of me. Okay?
Mm.
And these are the type, and I think, speaking of jobs specifically, being harassed and hounded and terminated for no reason at all, it makes a person bitter. And I think this is one of the reasons why, again, you have disgruntled employees on a lot of these menial jobs, and you see situations escalate to violence where somebody ends up being seriously hurt or killed. And also, too, lastly, this is one of the reasons why, although we're still dealing with a pandemic, where a lot of people don't want to, quote-unquote, go back to work. They'd rather be a gig worker or live out those PPP loans or whatever and try and reinvent themselves and work for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what's happening. A lot of people are choosing to be independent rather than go through that job stress or that perpetual feeling of humiliation. You mentioned the feeling that people are out to get you, and I think that was that situation with the young man in Aurora that killed the people. You know, his mother had said he had been acting like he was under stress for several weeks, and, you know, they were calling him in for meetings and all that sort of thing, and he was feeling like he was about to be fired, and he was. And then when it happened and they fired him, he was armed and shot up the place and killed several people. And a lot of the circumstances are what you just described. You know, somebody under financial pressure, feeling like you're going to lose your relationship if you lose this job because you won't be able to take care of your family. And it just explodes. And because there's a lack of sensitivity about that, a lot of people who are in positions of management, they don't realize that this job is someone's livelihood. And instead of, maybe if somebody's got a problem, saying, well, let's get you some counseling, get you some help, or get you some retraining, it's just like, oh, but this isn't working, you're fired. And then when that person explodes, they're like, well, why did that happen? Well, did you understand the consequences of you taking away their means of survival? So that's something that our society has to look at. But definitely, Brian, I agree that a lot of that, it's tied to fear of humiliation if you lose your means of survival, and then you could lose your home, your family leaves you, your wife, your children are taken away, you end up homeless, the ultimate humiliation. And for that, I think people will kill, which is an unfortunate response. But it's based on the insensitivity of so many other people who allow that situation to get to that point where a person had to fear for their survival. So let's take another call. Yes, Kareem, did you have a comment you want to make? And then we're going to take area code 779-801. But Kareem, did you want to make a comment on that?
Yes. Before the pandemic, before the situation that we're in now, where the economy had to be shut down and gradually opened, before that, there was a movement centered around Wall Street, centered around the power of brokers in this country. There was a national concern about a living wage, And that concern was not race-based. It was coming from labor. It was coming from citizens in this country. Some people have had to work two jobs and still end up on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
So this problem that we are speaking of, it is a human problem. It is a human condition. We are feeling it, and other communities and other people are feeling it also. A huge tax break was given to what we call the 1%, those that have great wealth. They skillfully and tactfully moved on the Wall Street movement to shut that down. That was demanding some accountability and a living wage and the spreading of the wealth. That was shut down and silenced. Now comes the pandemic, and the industries had to be shut down. A focus was shifted from a living wage to reacting to the pandemic virus. It was an expose on Walmart, one of the largest companies in the world.
Yes.
Their workers that were working full time still had to rely on government assistance to survive. And many of their workers were consistently kept on part-time. They could never get 40 hours a week whereby
right.
they could share in unionized benefits. So what we are addressing here, I hope, you know, yes, we do feel the shortfall in a disproportionate way. But let us speak to the policies and the conditions that have placed all of us in this stressful situation.
Right.
We have to recognize that there are other communities suffering also.
Oh, for sure.
Take a ride through. Yeah. So
yes.
We should address these policies that create these inequities. And as far as males, as I said earlier, across the board, the male has been positioned whereby he is not to show emotions.
Right.
Look at the history of the Irish, of how Irish men treated their wives.
Mm.
And look at their men, and look at their mentality. While in Ireland, fighting was a sport. It was just something that they just did. Aggression.
So that's the thing. If you're not
alcoholism among them, ma'am.
That's it. It becomes expressed in alcoholism, violence. Violence towards someone weaker than you, a female. So when men are not allowed to express human emotions, then the distorted behavior is one of violence and self-destruction in forms of self-medication through alcohol or drugs. That's the result of not being allowed to express human emotions and deal with fear.
This is a universal. This is universal. The subject matter that we are addressing, it is universal. How the male is identified, how he is identified, and it is a misidentification. In identification is direction. If we give the proper identification, the proper meaning of these terms, and return back to their original meaning, then we can work towards solving this human condition that we're in. as males and frustrated. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we've got a few comments on Facebook, and then we're going to go to caller 779-801 and then 773-487. And if you're on our switchboard and also have a comment, press 1, and we'll open your mic. And Brother Green, let me know if you have a call on your switchboard, and we'll open the mic there. We have a few comments here on our Facebook family and grand rising to our Tuesday host, Jody Susan. Thanks so much for joining us today. James Lasser says, if a man hasn't found his purpose, he will become frustrated at his life. And James also says, if a man understands why the world treats us with dismay, then he can develop a mental immune system to erase any confrontations. That's interesting. And James Lasser says, women are twice as mad than men these days. Yeah, we all know the angry black woman image, and women are very angry. So you got two angry people. That's not a good match. And then James Lasser says, as a man, I understand how the world views us black men and why. I know the secret why. When anyone that to get to God, they got to learn from a black man named Jesus. Well, now, yes, he said, laugh out loud. Yes, certainly. This way of manhood, and if you want to look at that particular historical figure, he showed a range of emotions, but at the base of it was love, and you got to be able to express your emotions if you want to truly
It says in the scripture, Jesus wept.
Yes, which means he did cry. And I remind my male friends who think that they cry. I remind them that all the time. When his friend Lazarus had died, and his sisters called him, and he got there and found he had passed away, the verse says Jesus wept. So that means it's okay to cry when you're grieving. So let's go to area code 779-801 and introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts. I believe this
Grand
is
Maika. Yes, this is Maika. Thank you for this topic. It's a wonderful topic. And Brother Kareem, greetings to you too. Peace. As I'm listening, what I'm thinking about, see, when we look at African-American people come from a people who are civilization builders. And that's a great capacity. That's an amazing capacity to really build systems of relationships and systems of living where you're not in violation of other people. Well, that's our inheritance. That's in our DNA. And then we come into a system of relationship where violence is the name of the game, white supremacy and all that stuff, you know, that call themselves civilization. Well, our capacity cannot be expanded in a smaller system like the European system. It cramps our style, our abilities, our gifts, our skills, our talents. They don't have any room for expression. And so those things are energies. So then they back up on us. And that's where the violence comes from, because we can't express all that we are as civilization builders, mathematicians, artists, scientists. That's in us. That's who we are. And talents and abilities that God gave us. But there's no room for expression in this system. And when they are expressed, like, say, in a Wall Street, the building of a Wall Street in Oklahoma, then the European system gets threatened and destroys it. Or if an African-American man expresses his capacity, like a Martin Luther King Jr., the government sets out and they kill him, or Malcolm X. So therein comes fear. And at the bottom of all fear, of all anger, is fear. Fear is the basis. Because one cannot express all that you are, that I am. We have to get it out. energy, if you put a cap on the exhaust pipe of a car, it's going to explode because that energy has to have a place to go. And that's what we see among us. Our energies have no place to go because our capacity is not functional within this system of relationships and living that we now exist in. We have to build our own systems that work for us. And that becomes the problem. And then you have to have the tools to manage your energies. Those tools haven't been given to people, basically. So they don't know how to deal with anger. They don't know how to deal with fear. And they don't know how to deal with jealousy and competition and all that. So, it, again, here's another explosion. We got to get it out because it's got to go somewhere. Energy has to be in flow in the present. In the past, it's frozen. In the future, it's vapors. But in the now, you have to flow. But we can't flow because they're all blockages everywhere you go, limitations. Oh, this is as much money as you can make. Oh, this is all you can do. This is what you got to be. You know, all these are limitations, and these limitations compounded create violence in the person. And so that's how I see what's going on out here. I see people not being able to express all that they are. And that flow is not there. And then the violence, the explosion that comes as a result of that. I hope I'm clear. I'm trying to be as clear as possible. And then
absolutely.
In terms of something Brother Kofi was saying, I had just talked to someone yesterday, and he expressed the same thing to me. And then this brother was married, and a lesbian came in and warped the, and his wife allowed the lesbian to warp her mind. And now they're divorcing because the lesbians are competing with the black men. They are a threat to black men because they want the women. They want black women. So you have another compound problem there. But the other stuff that Kofi said is true, too. So, and a man, a true man, he's constantly got to be about his business. He can't shirk his responsibilities. But... And it's all, they're always piling up on him. He got to deal with everything that's coming upon him. He doesn't get welfare. He doesn't get food stamps. He can't get no assistance or aid from different organizations and what have you. He has to find a way to pay child support, to pay rent, to pay all the bills that come in before him. And then the society at the same time is always beating him down about him being a man. So anyway, you know, it's compounded in so many ways that the anger is real, but at the base of that anger is the fear that I'm not going to really be able to hold myself accountable as a man. Thank you.
Wow.
Yes. What you are saying is very important. That sense of insecurity, the fear, the frustration. Now, knowing that, us knowing these things about ourselves, it seems to me that that the compassion that we have should be energized toward each other, the protections that we all desire. Nothing is stopping us from protecting each other and showing compassion and mercy toward each other. And that with that compassion and that mercy, that as a community, we have the financial heft. We have the financial heft to produce for ourselves the necessities of life. We have that. If we could turn now all everything that we are expressing here is happening nationally and universally, but I respect that charity begins at home. if we could truly begin to show compassion and love for each other, we know what we lack in the communities that we live. We can establish that ourselves. We're not asking. We have the economic health to do that. But our way of thinking, the train of thought that has been transferred to us, is the thought of the consumer instead of the producer. And let me say one more thing. You know, I want to be perfectly honest here.
We
speak of Africa. You have great contributions to the world, the knowledge that came out of Timbuktu, the knowledge of the moves of North Africa. They were Muslim. They built universities and schools of learning in Spain, Iraq, you name it. So I'm acknowledging that. But at the same time, Africa was able to be exploited because tribes were warring against each other. They would capture a member of a competing tribe, and they would sell him to the European.
That's how we got
it. These are the truths. Look, they came and they kidnapped us. Now, if you look, a ship of little frail Caucasians can come and just take over a whole, no, we were complicit in that.
There was a betrayal.
We have to admit
that. That's we have to address
yes.
as a reality. And that is a pain.
Thank you.
Exists because there was a betrayal among families. And this is the result. So we have to learn the lesson from that because it was a lesson for
but
us.
At what, but at the same time, Naima, there was not a system of thinking, of thought, called continent that did not exist. There was not the thinking and thought of a race. A race.
Unity consciousness.
It was there. But we were not thinking at that level.
And
people were able to come in and exploit are warring with each other, the desire for power over another tribe, another nation.
Yeah.
And they came in and took and they exploited that. And they had assistance by some of the African leaders.
That's the same. Absolutely.
In the respective countries. This is the truth.
And that's something that we're going to have to address rather than pointing fingers at other people who are going through their own internal battles. Everybody has to take responsibility for the things they did that created their present reality because all of us are responsible for us as a collective being at this very point right now. We got to take our last break. Brother Green, thank you so much. Maika, we certainly appreciate your sharing your wisdom. We're going to take our last break and come right back. And area code 863, we're going to come to you next. And if we get the chance to come back to you, 773-487, we'll come to you. If you're listening on line, if you got
comments.
Okay, we'll come to you.
And there's a caller here on the American Muslim 360 board, 321-917. Please hold on. We shall open your mic.
All right, yes, and we'll be right back after this last break. So we want you to stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Fee. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing 10, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Shauna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We thank all of you who have added your voice to this topic. Why are young men so angry? It recalls to mind some things that Maika said, recalls to mind the poem by Langston Hughes, Dream Deferred. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it? Well, we are seeing many exploding because of their dreams deferred. And we have to find a way to stop the explosions. And as Kareem has said, we have the power to do that. We just must choose to do that. And I'll share a few more comments from our Facebook family and then go to our phone line. And Deborah Smith, our third Saturday host, says, yes, thank you, Kareem. We have to learn how to be the producer as well as the consumer. Be purposeful. Yes. Thank you, Deborah. And James Laster says, we were already in America, never taken from Africa. And historically, you know, the earth is a lot older than we've been taught, and so is humanity. But that's another story for another show.
And James Lester says, men are mad because they believe the lie that we were stolen from Africa, which never happened. I'm at peace knowing America is my ancestors' home. I have taught millions of men this life-changing truth that black people were here first in America. Well, of course, there were people all over the planet that we have never been taught about. And one of the things that has to happen is that we have to define ourselves as beyond our physical container, beyond race, beyond gender. When you are a soul and you can identify yourself as something greater than the container you're in, then I believe someone said something earlier about being immune to other people's attitudes. But you also have to know that you have the power that you have and not see yourself as a victim. Otherwise, you're focusing on what other people are doing to you instead of your power to do for yourself. Let's go to our phone lines and go to area code 863-999, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thought about why are young men so angry.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. I like to quickly, because I like to use numbers to paint a picture. In the United States, with the total population, we're only 4.25% of the total global population. So a lot of those American angry black men, not all, but a good amount of them, live in that very small global comfort zone. Now, within the landscape of the United States, there are 19,500 municipal corporations known as cities. And out of that 19,500 cities, 10 of them only have a population. It's only 10 cities out of that 19,000 plus cities that have a population of a million or more people. The majority of black men who might be angry or angry are basically in the 10 largest metro areas in the United States. That's, you know, New York, L.A., Chicago, San Diego. Texas has got three of them, San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston. You got Phoenix and Philadelphia. Not all of them, but the majority of them are basically lumped into those 10 cities. So quickly, I think there are four fundamental rules to take a person from if they are angry to ecstatically angry, which can be done with, I would say, with not too much difficulty. And overall, I think black men in this country, we need to get back to the basics. And see as the four basic metrics. Number one, we need to learn how to catch and grow our own food. A lot of these angry guys can't afford to go to shopping at Wegmans or Whole Foods, you know, every week, let alone once a month. So learn how to catch and or grow your own food. Number two, if you want to get rid of that mortgage payment or you're tired of paying rent, once again, let's get back to the basics of learning how to build our own homes using social capital and forget about depending on the government for an FHA loan or VA loan or Wells Fargo mortgages and all that. Just eliminate that by picking up the skill of learning how to build your own. The third thing that I recommend is, start a family-based business. If you're getting disappointed because you feel you're not getting treated right at IBM, Xerox, the local federal, local government, or somebody else's business, get on your own court, start your own family-based business. That was normal for black folk 100 years ago. And the last thing is, find your own promised land. In other words, the top 10 largest metropolitan areas in the United States are very competitive. You're playing on somebody else's court. There's over 19,500 towns in the United States. go find one of these places which is smaller in population, less rules and regulations. Many of these places don't even have a police force. Buy you land by the acre. That is your own promised land. Those are my comments.
Mm. Well, thank you, L.A. from Central Florida, giving us insight, independent thought.
We have a caller here on the AM 360 board.
All right, please open it.
When you have to get. Okay.
All right, go ahead, right ahead.
321-917. Please give me your name and where you're calling from, please. 321-917.
Zuma, Melbourne, Florida. I was listening to the comments of the last two callers. The first caller, I think, the system of...
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the name. Where you from? Can you say that again, please?
Yes, I'm calling from Melbourne, Florida. The late Zuma is my name. I was really... wanted to emphasize the importance of the last two callers' comments, and especially the sister who was giving the psychological and physical breakdown of the challenges that young men have to face in America, and the inequality in terms of their ability to cope. You know, and I think it was very profound when she took the time to do analysis of the challenges that young men are facing, young black men and all of us, really. I feel I'm a senior, and those challenges are there for me as well. So, I appreciate the brother coming up with some conclusions on what we can do. I think that's the next step for us is to, after we identify a problem, then what are some of the solutions? And that's what I would like to ask. And I really would like to hear from the sister again, when she has evidently she has identified those problems and probably is making some headway into addressing some of them. So I would like to definitely know how to have solutions to those problems, and I like to help address those problems myself, you know, but if I have a solution, because that's so profound and I think so accurate in describing what will build this type of anger. So thanks for the program, wonderful program, and just wanted to make those comments and hope to do some follow-up to maybe see ways to address some of these problems. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Brother Umar. We appreciate you so much. We've got another caller on our switchboard, area code 773-737. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers and Solutionaries, Grand Rising. Yes, Mama D, your host for Wisdom with Mama D every fourth Saturday. I think black men are angry because of five things. Number one, what happened to them did not happen to anybody else on the planet Earth. The United Nations calls it the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind. And Bill Clinton and George Bush, former president, said the vestiges still exist today. Number two, I think they are angry because they have not been loved into shape. They have been taught by the army to be whipped into shape. And this whipping into shape has caused them to get bent out of shape. And they need to be loved into shape in order to overcome that. Number three, I think they are the most powerless men on the planet Earth because institutional laws are more powerful than their individual goals and aspirations. And number four, I think they are the only ones that for centuries were indoctrinated to hate themselves and love other than self. And they were tortured and brutalized for centuries in enforcing that. And number five, I think this whole notion of other people telling us what our needs are, and out of a sense of fear and still wanting to belong to the one that taught us to hate ourselves. By we fighting for the rights of all people, everybody. Can we just all get along? Everybody did not experience what we experienced. And the solution is always for our young men, we got some summer jobs. We going to put you to work. Our young men need recreation all year. So.
Yes. I understand. Well, Mama, you broke it down beautifully, and we do thank you. Absolutely. Tune in every fourth Saturday here on The Female Solution, 12 to 2 p.m. Central, for Wisdom with Mama D. Thank you for sharing some wisdom today. And there are a couple of folks who want to speak again. I think we've got every code 708-566. You wanted to make another comment?
Yes. After the last gentleman that spoke, I was doing a little research, trying to do a little research on what they call social capital. Okay. And also to try to get a little information on how to start my business. One reason is that a lot of brothers are angry again. You know, the prior experiences, whether it be jobs, relationships, and on, and I can't stress that enough. And there's some wounds and scars, psychological scars that, or broken bones, or psychologically speaking, that just simply have not healed. And what happens is a lot of us, we pile issue on top of issue on top of issue. And like that lady say, that exhaust and fume and corrosion has got to go somewhere. So it's eventually going to come out and resurface and come out.
Yes, it's got to come somewhere.
You know, I want to add an important ingredient to all that we are saying here.
Mm-hmm.
The number one question that we have to address is, within our planning, who will finance? Are we willing to finance our own independence and liberation? That is the question. All of these good ideas they are just that, until they meet material reality. Who will find, are we willing to finance our own independence and our own liberation? We cannot overlook the financial component of our human lives. I'll stop right there. We must address that.
Well, I think that the statement that L.A. made, which Brian just reiterated, about social capital, the thing that is necessary is for us to learn the lesson from what got us in this mess as an African descendant people, is we had all of the beauty, the wealth, the luxury of a continent full of everything necessary to sustain life. And we fought each other for power, and we lost it. So the lesson to be learned is to share. That's always the lesson. And when you share, then everyone has everything they need. We're trying to become part of an economic system that was designed to exclude, when in fact we have the power of our social capital, which costs nothing. Now, there are some things at some point you're going to have to enter other people's monetary system. But even then, the principle has to be sharing, give and take. I want for my brother and sister what I want for myself. It's a thought. And when we adopt that thought, then we do things in service to each other. And we receive things in service to us. The system is right there for us to choose to use it, for us to choose to create it, for us to choose to benefit from it. The first step is to change the thought. And there is nothing stopping us from doing that at all. We're like Dorothy in her ruby slippers, having the power to go home all the time with her. She just had to realize it. So there's nothing insurmountable happening here. Everything is showing us this. The coronavirus and everything else is showing us the solution. Work together. Share. That's all we need to do. And like Mama D said, love souls into shape. Heal the hurt. Confirm everyone's value. And no one will be angry. We really have the power to transform this world. All we have to do is share. So, Brother Kareem, you have said it. All of our, every day, each person gives something that adds to the piece of the puzzle because we're all part of the collective mind. And when we raise the collective consciousness to understand that we are one, then the solution will become manifest. That's why we're all here. So all of us who contributed to this thought is helping us to eventually get to this point of manifestation of the change in our reality, where we simply learn how to share. That's all it takes. And Deborah, our third Saturday host, says, I watched a movie last night on Showtime that's really touched the topic, The Last Tree, 2020. And this story of Femi Adewumi, a British teen of Nigerian heritage, moved from his foster home in rural Lincolnshire to the inner city. And this movie, of course, it illustrates some principles that if we can understand, we can simply begin to employ as we learn about how to benefit from all that we have learned, all that we have become. Learn.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show.
And I think we've got a caller at 773-783. Got about 30 seconds. Last thought.
Good morning, Grand Rising. It's good to talk to all of you and listen to you this morning. This is Wendy Williams.
Well, all right.
Good topic. Good topic. And I sent you that YouTube link to the false promise of the of Black Love by Mahogany Pink. Mahogany Pink. She's on YouTube,
wow.
And you guys are hitting right on it. And humanity is the solution for those of us who can do. We need to get out there and do. And for those of us who cannot do, they shouldn't. And there should be some healing for them because they won't be able to do. But for those of us who can do, we need to pull together and do it. In the name of Black Love. So don't forget, YouTube, the False Promise of Black Love by Mahogany Pink. And I sent that to you, too, Latif.
All right. Well, we will certainly do that, and we're looking forward to
Israel, Toda,
coming on back
Pakistan, Shukriya.
Afghanistan,
Tashakur, Saudi Arabia,
goodbye.
Shukran,
Assalam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.